buckle up your pant legs, zip up your hats, plaid up your vestments, and put in one single colored contact lens. It's time for Sounds About Light, a podcast about Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm Sam.
I'm Drew.
It's time for Sounds About Light, a podcast about Verum Rex.
Verum Rex, which appears to all have brain in it, it looked like.
It does kind of look like brain. I think that Nomura might have brain on the brain, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that opening?
I thought for a second that an ad got spliced into the middle of the video we were watching, and then I noticed some similarities, and then it became clear what was happening.
Yeah, so this viewing begins with, I mean, let's just describe it as it appears. We begin in a modern city, kind of like Japan. There's some cool Final Fantasy looking guys fighting mechs, gathering around a pillar of pink light from the top of a skyscraper. The source of the light is revealed to be a woman standing on the roof. The light is creating a vortex in the sky, swallowing up all the nearby buildings. And then Brain is here with bright red hair from Union Cross.
Mm-hmm.
He has a studded fedora.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have a feather though, does it?
Oh, maybe not. Can't be Brain then. But, well,
can't be Brain.
It
could not be, cool
it,
enough.
It could be a Brain analog, though.
Which is cooler, the studded fedora or the feathered fedora?
The studded fedora, because I feel like I can imagine it being used like a hat weapon, like Speedwagon one time.
you stopped for a second, and I was like, I can also imagine it being used like a hat.
I can imagine. My brain didn't work for a sec, but yeah, like a Speedwagon.
I think that Brain's feather, for all we know, it could be a big razor blade that he throws at you, or maybe it's a spear.
He pulls the feather, and it's a pull cord that unleashes the knives in his hat.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
But now this cool fedora guy is dual-wielding rapiers that turn into laser whips.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Final Fantasy 15?
Maybe 6 hours of it, yeah.
And then I think the next guy looks a lot like Ignis because he has glasses.
Yeah, I had that thought too. I'm like, wait, is this I'm like, man, there were like a million versions of Final Fantasy 15. Is this one of the versions of Final Fantasy 15?
Kind of. Yes, yeah. And no, because, fun fact, now I'll say I don't have too much knowledge about this. There are other people who followed this way closer than I did. By which I mean I had never heard of this until pretty recently. Before Final Fantasy 15, there was a game that was in production for a while called Final Fantasy Versus 13. Are you aware of this?
I'm aware of that, yeah.
I don't really know what the name means because it wasn't about lightning. I think it was set in the same universe, maybe. I don't think it was multiplayer, so I don't know what the Versus was supposed to mean at all. But Versus 13 was later reworked into Final Fantasy 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Versus 13 was about, like, Noctis and Ignis and all those people. And I am told that what we are seeing here is kind of a revival of some of the ideas of Versus 13 that weren't made into 15, maybe?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so this Ignis-looking guy, he does seem like a bit of an Ignis slash Gladiolus. He's got glasses and a big greatsword-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if Ignis was ripped?
What? Well, he's kind of ripped, just not big ripped.
He's pretty ripped, yeah. If we're being honest.
Yeah, he's just skinny ripped.
We then meet our main guy, the Not Noctis, who we will find out his name in a little bit. Mm-hmm. He has a glowing red sword in one hand and a glowing red crossbow in the other. It also seems to have gravity gun powers. He's, like, dragging the mechs around with it.
Looks pretty sick.
It does look pretty sick. I want to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Square Enix, hire this man.
Take 15 years to make this game and turn it into another game.
So they are all watching from a nearby rooftop as the vortex is destroying pretty much the entire city. They, like, leap down onto the other building from above. They fight, like, a wave of mechs as they descend. And then he jumps, and he reaches toward the woman, and their hands just barely touch, but then a mech grabs her, and then the camera pulls back to reveal that behind the mech that's holding her is another mech that is about 100,000 times as large.
Yeah.
And it's pointing a huge hand laser directly in their faces.
Pretty cool.
But they're ready for it. Crossbow guy points his crossbow at the mech, and we see that he has one red eye and one blue eye, and we zoom into the blue eye as he charges up a shot. Verum Rex, Gigas action figures available now. And we zoom out of the TV in Andy's room in Toy Story.
Yeah, I like knew that's what we were doing this week, but I forgot while I was watching this little video.
It's so such a wild introduction to Toy Story, but it's so good.
Yeah. Verum Rex, would that mean, does that mean like true king?
True king, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sora's got the little crown thing going on. I don't know.
So Woody is, I don't know what he's doing. He's like setting up a barricade to protect against the Heartless or something.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they've been under attack.
I guess so. He's just like carrying around some like blocks, and then he steps on the control, the remote control, and turns off the TV. And Rex and Ham were watching it, and they're like, "Hey, we like Verum Rex. Why you gotta turn off the TV?" That's my impression of Rex and also Ham.
Perfect. Spot on.
And Rex starts going on and on about how much he loves the crossbow guy, Yozora.
Yozora, huh.
I wonder if that means anything.
No.
Well, I'll just tell you right now. Sora, of course, means sky. Yozora means night sky.
Oh.
Evil Sora, perhaps. Or just edgy Sora.
Yeah, I think it's just edgy Sora, which is kind of Roxas.
Which is pretty funny because he looks quite a bit like Riku.
He does, yeah. With the, what do they call it? Is it heterochromia? Or
Yeah.
Or, wait, yes, that's right.
So, yeah, I guess, I think that Woody is trying to set up some kind of, like, Gears of War cover to fight the Heartless, because he's just moving around blocks, but then all the Heartless pop up, they all duck and cover, and they're getting ready for a surprise attack along with the army men and the aliens from Toy Story, the movie. But the surprise attack is interrupted as Sora and friends walk out from under Andy's bed, wondering if anyone can tell them how they got so small.
That was in my notes. You beat me to it.
And they realize that they are little plastic guys, and Donald has to remind Sora that this does happen quite a bit, actually.
I think I really like how these look. These are, it's very good.
Yeah, there's a lot of great attention to detail. Like, I think Sora has like a little screw in his back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've got good like action figure joints and stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean, obviously they like work with Disney and Pixar animators in some capacity on these games, but they did a really good job with the animation of the toys.
Yeah, this was like I have too many video games and I haven't even beat the other Kingdom Hearts games I own, but like watching this, I'm like, man, I would play this. This looks very fun and cool.
Well, maybe reevaluate that once we get to some of the shittier worlds in this game.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, this, I mean, I've probably said this before on the podcast or maybe not, but I think this is the best Kingdom Hearts world that they've ever done as far as Disney worlds go.
Yeah, I mean, it is for me so far. We can talk about why maybe later, but yeah, it's really...
Mm-hmm. So they run out to fight the Heartless, and then afterwards they meet the toys. Rex gives Sora a hug and is like, "Oh my god, it's Yozora!" And he starts... It's so funny to hear Rex from Toy Story being like,
"I've been playing your game for months now, and I've already gotten you all the way up to level 47, but that Bahamut boss is really tough. Slinky and I can't figure out how to beat him."
That's so good. That's so real, you know?
It's like, so real.
Yeah.
It's a Final Fantasy game, so of course you've never beaten it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I've never beaten a Final Fantasy game.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I beat 10, and I beat the 7 remake, and I think otherwise I've gotten very close to the end of a bunch of them and not beaten.
I never beat 10. I haven't even finished 7 remake, but that's mainly because I got too hung up on trying to do all the side quests.
Yeah, and then put
it down and never picked it back up.
That happens, yeah.
So yeah, Rex immediately trusts that they are heroes who are here to help, but Woody and Buzz are a little bit more hesitant. And we learn that there's some weird stuff going on here. In addition to the Heartless popping up, a bunch of the toys are missing. There's no Slinky, no Bo Peep, no Potato Head, none of them. And also, Buzz's laser is real.
Yeah.
I like that they leave that for last.
Yeah, do you think the army men can shoot real bullets now, too? We don't see it, but
What's that JoJo stand? Bad Company?
Bad Company, yeah.
Yeah, they've become Bad Company.
Yeah, that's not going to go well for them.
They're gonna fill Xehanort full of holes.
That would be... Oh, man. It's a bummer to me that they don't fight the Organization 13 members much.
Who's they?
The like toys, anyone or? Other than, anyone other than like the main squad, you know?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We do get a really good interaction between one of the toys and one of the organization later.
That's true. That's true.
But no direct fight, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Woody just kind of assumes they must be new toys that Andy bought. Maybe they, I don't know, they were on order or something. Who knows? So he welcomes them to the group. And Buzz is a lot more suspicious, you know. He's like, oh, you've encountered these monsters before? Where? I don't know what he thinks is going on, but...
You know, is this Buzz Lightyear's character? I think this is really good, but I did think it was weird that Buzz is, like, suspicious and stuff, and that seems to be, like, his main character, and that's not really how I think of Buzz Lightyear in those movies.
You know, I rewatched Toy Story. This was a few months back, I think, at this point. Specifically because I had heard that Woody and Buzz's characters are kind of flipped in this.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit... I don't know. Woody is very standoffish in Toy Story 1, obviously. That's kind of the whole thing, is that Woody is mm-hmm. detestable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it kind of makes sense to me in terms of, like, you know, Woody has learned that he doesn't need to be afraid of Andy replacing him. Meanwhile, Buzz has learned that he is, in fact, a toy, so he's kind of reevaluating the vibes. Also, this does take place after Toy Story 2, so maybe he's got some Stinky Pete trauma to work through.
Yeah, well, because that was my thought. I was like, Woody I'm fine with, because yes, after Toy Story 2, especially at this point, Woody should be pretty cool, I think. And I was like, well, maybe Buzz, I guess maybe it's also like Buzz is the, even though he knows it's fake, he has memories of being like a military guy. And so like, he's just naturally more suspicious and stuff.
Yeah, maybe we have to see Lightyear to fully understand what is going on with his character.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think there is a fun moment later where I think they are kind of trying to allude to Buzz's sort of memories of believing everything was real, where Woody is like, oh, you know, Buzz, you're one to talk about like fighting monsters and evil villains and stuff.
I know, I thought that was kind of a dickhead thing to say, but yeah.
Well, he's detestable.
It's true, he is.
You know what, by the way,
because
mm-hmm. I think they got back a lot of the voice cast, you know, like Rex and Ham I think are the real voice actors. We've got, of course, Jim Hanks, Tom Hanks's brother, as everyone knows, is Woody. I don't remember who the Tim Allen sound-alike is for Buzz, but he is like on point.
Oh yeah, that was my thought, because like, yeah, Jim Hanks is definitely not Tom Hanks, but it's pretty close, so like whatever. Yeah, if I didn't know that it wasn't Tim Allen, I would think it was Tim Allen.
Especially since they've already got James Woods, so I'm surprised that they didn't also get Tim Allen.
Right, yeah, it'd be par for the course.
Just in terms of fighting to get really shitty guys to do these voices.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we also learned that Andy, Molly, and their mom are missing too. So Sora is like... He's so eager to help because he's like, oh, they miss their friends. I always want to help people who miss their friends. Buzz, still not trusting Sora, is like, well, we also saw a suspicious guy in a black coat, just like you. Now, Sora's not in a black coat, but whatever.
This is where I was like, so is the black coat guy going to be toy size too? That's weird, but...
Either option is good, to be honest.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping we'd get a human-sized black hood guy.
Well, now this is a question. If Sora and friends are shrunk down to the size of toys, does that imply that the toys are the quote-unquote normal denizens of this world, and they are actually normal-sized toys in a world of giants?
Well, for the purpose of the narrative, yeah. They're the protagonists. So
they're the protagonists of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they, Sarge says that their scouts have seen, if anyone hasn't seen Toy Story, I hope this isn't confusing to talk about. I'm just kind of assuming that everyone knows Toy Story.
Yeah. I mean, you're listening to this podcast and you're probably a similar age to us. You've probably seen Toy Story.
That's true. Sarge of the Army Men says that his scouts have seen the black coat guy at Galaxy Toys down the road. Now, how far down the road? Don't worry about it. Not far enough that the toys can't get there on foot.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz wants to stay behind and wait for Andy. The rest of them do not. The tension.
And do we know now already they've been waiting for Andy for, like, a while?
I don't know that they ever really give us much of a time frame, but it does seem like it's been at least a few days is the vibe I got.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
So they ultimately convince Buzz that they need to take action. So they climb out the window and they head to Galaxy Toys, which is, it's such a fun setting for this world.
Yeah.
It's like a multi-story toy store with like a big capsule machine in the middle that you can like grind up and down to the different floors on the like the capsule tracks.
Yeah, this seems really, it's cool. And I love seeing all the like cool, like kind of slick transitions between like cutscene and action and stuff that are going on. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, it seems great. I think my only criticism of how some of it works is, you know, they've got the You've Got a Friend in Me song playing as like kind of the world music. And then it's really jarring, I think, whenever it transitions into battle music from You've Got a Friend in Me, because they're such different styles of music.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't try to do the like field themes of songs from the movies. I feel like it's always worse than just having some original music. Like in Kingdom Hearts 1, they had Under the Sea playing this, and then there was the Birth by Sleep, that awful, awful version of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, just looping and looping and looping and looping.
Oh, God. Yeah, and I think, like, you know, it'd be better if they just use like some of the score from Toy Story and not like the big iconic song. That, or I'd like them to do the You've Got a Friend in Me battle remix.
You've got an enemy in me.
You got an enemy in me that, yeah, like, I don't know, had some like Skrillex stuff in it and whatnot.
Now that would be good.
I hope they do stuff like that in Kingdom Hearts 4. After they listen to this podcast. Yeah,
at least we don't have to listen to Randy Newman.
Yeah, I'm glad there's no lyrics, at least.
No lyrics. Yeah. It's a fun instrumental arrangement, but yeah, it's also a little bit irritating.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're at the toy store. Now this is where we start to get into some of the weird metaphysics of the Toy Story universe that are hopefully never spelled out, because the Gigas, which are the mechs from Verum Rex, there's Gigas action figures all over the store in all these displays. And Sora wonders why they, despite being toys in a world of living toys, they aren't moving. And Woody's like, oh, I guess they just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's for the best that we simply leave it at that.
Yeah, you can't think too hard about how Toy Story works.
But then young Xehanort appears and gives us an incredibly funny line, which is, I can make them move for you.
Yeah, that feels like a line from the Kingdom Hearts 3 / fiction and not from...
Exactly. I can make it clap for you, Sora.
Yes, that made me laugh pretty hard.
So he summons some Heartless who immediately start piloting the mechs, and he says some dumb shit about how the emptiness of the mechs is filled with darkness, just like how a nobody and a Heartless something something.
Uh-huh.
I don't care about any of that.
No.
That's dumb as fuck. What is probably interesting and worth noting is that he says that he came here looking for a way to reclaim one of their darknesses who has gone missing. And he believes that they might be able to learn something from how hearts are able to connect in a world of living toys.
Yeah, they're kind of
now,
trying
to... Now, before we get to what he says next, do you have any predictions on who he's referring to as the missing darkness?
I think it's probably Terra, would be my guess. I don't think we've seen Terra yet.
I have a theory, and I think I'm okay to say it because I don't actually know if I'm right.
Hmm.
I think that he's talking about Repliku.
Oh, shoot, yeah, because that is the same situation, huh?
Yeah, it's an inanimate object that has sort of developed humanity through having a heart placed into it, which does have, again, some weird implications about the metaphysics of Toy Story that are none of our concern.
Well, I feel like they're just trying, like, it's the same thing as Pinocchio. That's kind of what they're implying has happened to the toys here.
Yeah,
is that true. They've all been Pinocchio'd.
Now is where things really go off the rails, because we're all wondering, like, what's going on? Why is Buzz's laser working? Where are all the other toys? What's going on? We made a copy of this world and split it in half to separate half of the toys from the others.
Oh, it's Data Toy Story.
I think it might be Data Toy Story.
It has to be. Oh, yeah, unless it's like the weirdness of Dream Drop Distance, but I don't think it's that.
I mean, I guess it could be a dream. I don't know. It's such a weird, like, you know, I'm here talking a big game about how this is the best Kingdom Hearts world. Then young Xehanort starts saying shit like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the real answer is we couldn't possibly get that many voice actors.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard enough to do a good job animating Woody and Buzz. You're telling me we got to animate Slinky?
Yeah, we can't get Joan Cusack, and her official sound alike is probably expensive.
We can't get a horse.
They won't fit in the studio.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that, yes, they must have made a data version of the Toy Story world, and I guess just kidnapped most of the toys and thrown them into it, or maybe Woody, Buzz, and the others are the ones. I guess this has to be the data world if Buzz's laser is working.
That was my assumption. Yeah, this is the data world. It is funny that they decided to do this and not just like be like, we've captured the toys and hidden them away.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question though is, if this is the data world, how the hell did they fly to it on a gummy ship?
I don't know. Yeah, it's, Sora's just following the key, right, to wherever it's leading him, and the key brought him where he needed to be, I guess.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess so. I pray that this is one of those things that just never will make sense, and they never try to make it make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Although I wouldn't say no to more of this in Kingdom Hearts 4. But they, it's time to fight the Gigases, and Donald and Goofy yell over to Sora. They're all, like, taking cover, and Donald and Goofy are like, Sora, why don't you become a mech pilot for this world? And they're right.
I was not expecting this, and this looks very cool.
It's so fun. You get to jump in the mechs. There's, I think, three different versions of the Gigas, and they all have different weapon sets and stuff. It's so fun.
It looks kind of
fighting
like
mechs.
It kind of looks like playing D.Va a little bit.
a little bit.
Yeah.
And after the fight, Buzz is not happy to see some of their fellow toys being controlled by darkness. And Woody is not happy about what young Xehanort said, and neither am I.
I'm not happy about any of it.
I like when Woody's like, what was he talking about? And Sora is basically just like, well, you know how he said he made a copy of the world and split you in half? I guess he must have done that.
True. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we get a great Buzz line here where he goes, you can't be serious. Oh, that's right. You're from a video game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Buzz. It.
Yeah, I think this is the part where Woody is like, you know, who are you to judge when they say that there's dark forces at work?
Yeah, although that is implying Woody thinks that their memories are bullshit.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yep.
And then their argument is interrupted by Sarge, who tells them that Rex has been dragged off by the Heartless. I'm going to have to insert some audio here because there's no way to read it out loud. It's Goofy trying to be reassuring, and Donald and Sora keep, like, chiming in the background.
Don't worry. Sora can be reckless. And Donald grumbles a lot.
It's true.
But you can trust him.
He suspects you do.
It's true.
Huh? He does?
They also said that Rex was dino-napped.
He was dino-napped. That's
which
true.
Which is true.
Just a fact. Mm-hmm. So they're basically acting really stupid in response to what Goofy just said. And Buzz pretty much agrees to work with them, largely on the basis of them being really stupid.
Yeah, Donald, like, makes fun of Sora and goes, like, that's... I don't want to do the voices. That's good thinking for you. And then he laughs a bunch. And then Sora
starts, like, chasing him around and stuff.
I love Donald wiggles his butt at Sora at one point. He does. And that's really good.
What a good game.
Yeah, I love... Donald is, like... way more extra in this game than he has been in the other ones, but it's good. That's how Donald Duck is.
Yeah, it's really good. I feel like the extra development time and the extra like processing power, they've just got so much room for these characters to be so over the top, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So they go upstairs to find Rex. Once again, they do this by grinding the rails of the Gachapon machine. They go to the action figure section, where a giant dinosaur action figure thing is possessed by darkness and ambushes them. You know, Buzz is reluctant to fight other toys, but he's like, you know, I gotta protect my friends. And basically what happens in the end is that they are almost attacked from behind unexpectedly by one of these giant dinosaurs. But Rex, who is somehow, like... sitting on a plane that is swinging around from the ceiling, he, like, gets launched and knocks the Heartless out that was possessing the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is very, very classic Toy Story characterization, is that Rex is like, was I scary? Was I cool?
Yeah.
He's so proud of himself.
Yeah. No, it's good.
And then another great Toy Story type line is when Sarge comes in and he's like, one of my men have seen ham in Babies and Toddlers.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, the Green Army men are great every time they show up.
Mm-hmm. And they, again, the animation is so perfect. They move in that very, very weird, wacky little way where they just kind of like... they step with their little plastic base on their feet.
Yeah.
They've got the detail of the little bits of plastic where they're like cut out of the sheet that they were manufactured in. They put the effort in.
It's impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. So the last thing that they heard was some music in the background before the radio transmission got cut off. So they're going to investigate that.
This is weird, by the way. It feels entirely superfluous. This next little part.
Which part?
The music puzzle.
Oh, it's fun, though.
Okay. Yeah, it's fun.
And it leads to one of my favorite scenes of all time.
It is fun, but yeah, it felt like a necessary step, but anyway, whatever, it's fun.
You know what, though? I'm thinking back about the idea of Woody and Buzz feeling kind of flipped. This is a moment here that feels like Buzz does something that Woody should have been doing, where... Rex is like, oh, I guess I should go wait by the entrance. If you have to go through the vents, my tail's not going to fit. And Sora's like, oh, no, it looks like there should be plenty of room. But Buzz, knowing Rex and knowing that he's just afraid to go with them and wants to go back to the entrance where it's safe, Buzz is like, ah, we need you to keep lookout by the entrance. It's a very important job, Rex. And like, that's a nice moment, but that's something that Woody would be doing.
Yeah, although I do think there was a problem in the later Toy Story movies where Woody and Buzz kind of do the same thing.
Mm.
They're kind of both in charge and both do that stuff.
Okay, interesting.
But I've
seen 1 and 2 100 times, and I only saw 3 the one time.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, though. It should have been Woody.
Should have been Woody. But that's okay. They go to Babies and Toddlers. They're looking for any sort of toys that make music. And they find this big section of toys called Musical Toads. And there's a little record player to make them play. And Sora, like, runs along it to get it to spin. Of course, it's playing Sora's theme music for some reason.
Yeah. Well, he's part of this world. He's Yozora.
Yeah, this is Yozora's theme. And this is the part that I love so much, as Woody is like, here, let me do that for you while you investigate the toads. So he's now running along the record with his big, long, floppy Woody legs.
Yeah.
And they find one of the army guys, the corporal, who lost contact with Sarge earlier, and he is jammed inside of a tuba. Yeah. He says that a giant hand shoved him into it, and he's like, don't worry, I'll come with you, but he, like, can't walk. So Sarge, like, helps him stand and says, your tour is over, son. And he starts crying.
Yeah, it's messed up.
Sora, Donald, and Goofy salute him.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Woody on the record player at a distance, no idea what's going on, completely out of breath from running. And he's just like, guys, can I stop yet? And then the army men salute him on their way out. And Woody just goes, huh?
Yeah, that's so funny.
Oh, my God. It's peak Kingdom Hearts. And it's also really good Toy Story.
Yeah. Yeah, this world's very good.
It feels really inspired.
It does. This is the first time I've thought about it. Does Woody have lungs? Does he have a cardiopulmonary system in there?
He does, but they're made of fluff.
Oh, that's... I think that might be worse.
The cotton is just, like, congealing.
Ugh.
Al's gotta clean him up.
Yeah, Al's gotta... Yeah, it's like... Yeah, are all toys are all... I know they're not gooey inside, though. We've seen the inside. It's just fluff. I know it's just magic and I shouldn't think about it, but, you know.
We've seen the inside. It's true and bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I rewatched Toy Story 1 for this. I didn't rewatch 2, but I probably should have because I remember really loving Toy Story 2.
Yeah, I love all those movies. I mean, I even like 3 and 4. I don't think they're, like, as good, but they're still good movies.
Can you answer this question for me that I've had ever since I saw, like, promo stuff for Toy Story 4, which I never did watch?
Mm-hmm.
Why does Bo Peep look like a completely different character?
Oh, I don't know if I can answer that. I think they just have more money and better technology now. I don't know.
It looks like she's got, like, a different outfit, though.
I think they're... I barely remember Toy Story 4. I've seen it once. Okay, but I remember. Enough. I think she does more in it, and so maybe she has, like, a costume change. I don't remember.
I just remember seeing that and being very confused at the idea that the, like, little Bo Peep figurine that Andy's mom has that she, like, put in his room at some point. Like, yeah, underneath her big little Bo Peep dress, there is, like, a badass combat suit.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I don't remember that movie very well, but I remember enjoying it.
Fair enough. I will retract my question and assume that it's good.
Okay.
And that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, they tell Woody finally that he can stop running, and he collapses on the ground, and then Buzz is like, no time to rest, Woody! good stuff. They find a dollhouse that is shaking around, and they wonder if Ham is inside of it. And they pull it open, and Ham is inside of it, sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's very chill.
Yeah, although he says an ominous line, which is, talk about cabin fever!
Yeah, he says something like, at least the refreshments were nice or something. There's like a little tea set on the table.
He ate a Green Army Man. He got cabin fever. He got cabin fever and he ate a Green Army Man. That's what happened. No.
Yeah, talk about refreshments. And then, it is a creepy anime girl doll.
Yeah,
looks at them through the window.
This is a doll for adult creeps, not for children.
The wiki, I think it's the in-game Jiminy's Journal, actually refers to this as Angelic Amber, which does sound like something that a pervert would write on his blog.
Absolutely.
On his Reddit post.
Yeah.
It's fine, though. It's for children. I don't know if this is clear. The things that you notice when you take notes... I never noticed that all of the, like, possessed toys that we're seeing, and I don't know if you saw any of the footage, there's all these different kinds. There's, like, little stuffed animals that they're fighting, there's mm-hmm. the dinosaurs, there's this doll. They're all possessed by a Heartless that is, like, a little marionette thing.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
Somehow I never noticed that until I was taking notes on it, but, yes, she is possessed by one of those, and... She's got yellow Xehanort eyes. I love this part where they tell Ham that he can, you know, like, go take cover. He doesn't have to use his cork from the wiki as a weapon. And he has a line which is, one stay in the Dreadin' breakfast was enough for me.
Good. That's good Toy Story stuff.
It's good Toy Story. They fight the doll. And after they defeat it, it, like, collapses onto the floor, lifeless once again. And... This is, they don't really get into it, but it's kind of creepy because even Buzz is, like, unsettled by it. He's like, if we get possessed by these things, will we also become lifeless afterwards? Like, I'm pretty sure the Heartless are killing these toys.
Yeah, right, because they're... Yeah, they're vacating their heart by to get in there, and then their hearts aren't coming back, I guess.
Basically, they're all getting Norded.
They're all getting Norded. Well, you know what it could be? So I've always assumed that the toys were animated by the love of children. That was my assumption. And the real reason this doll is dead is because no children would love it because it's for adult creeps. So don't worry, Buzz.
The love of adults will not get you there.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who would buy this doll is incapable of experiencing love.
Well, they love dolls.
So Sora tries to reassure Buzz. He's like, the darkness can only creep in if your hearts falter. And Woody says, I know that you would never lose heart when it comes to protecting your friends. And then they see another possessed toy. This one is a UFO. They chase it to the Kid Corral, which is like a, you know, they got like bikes and outdoor toys and stuff. And the good old Toy Story aliens are, you know, they see the UFO with its claw and they're just like, great, good.
They make some kind of dark jokes with these, which is the whole alien thing in the movie was pretty dark too. It's all supposed to be cult stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, after they beat the UFO, one of the aliens says, Nirvana will not be reached.
That's a lot for a kid's game.
Yeah, but then Sora's like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, it's okay. We love the Chamber of Andy.
Yeah, that's nice.
No problem.
It did make me think, is like, do children play Kingdom Hearts anymore by Kingdom Hearts 3? Is it just all adults playing this game?
Probably. There's got to be kids playing these. I'm always shocked at how many people say that they started playing Kingdom Hearts with Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. And parents just buy games for kids. And like, this one's got the Disney characters. It's got Frozen in it.
Yeah. I mean, now all the teenagers think that I'm very cool since I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 1 since it was new.
Yeah, that's what they think for sure.
That's what they think.
Yeah.
Buzz, you know, they've rescued all of the toys that were here. So Buzz is like, I think, you know, we didn't solve anything. We didn't get Andy back. But I think that we should just take this opportunity to get home now that everyone is safe. And, you know, even if the world that we're in isn't the real one, you never know. Andy might come home at any moment. And Woody's like, yeah, you know, I think we should go. And I like this moment where Sora's like, you know, the three of them are like, oh, you know, it's we were kind of hoping you would come with us, but we can kill this guy on our own. We don't need you.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's not really your responsibility. They're our responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you were kind of just tagging along with us to help us find this guy. So, yeah, you can go. They all head back downstairs to say goodbye. Buzz is doing a little roll call, and Rex is missing because he went to the video game section.
Fair enough. That'd be me, too.
Ham says that he went there to prove that they could trust Sora. But we do find out momentarily that he went there to look for a Prima official strategy guide to figure out how to beat Bahamut.
I love that so much.
Just lying.
Just looking
for the guide.
I don't know why Buzz doesn't let him take the strategy guide. Like, they know the world's not real. Just take the strategy guide.
you're saying that Rex should cheat not only the game, but also himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I read wikis all the time when I'm playing video games. I'm an adult. I don't have time to figure it out.
But they decide to stick together for a little bit longer and go find Rex. And they go to the video game section. There's a huge Verum Rex display. Rex is showing them like the box art, and he's like, "See, this is you." And Sora's like, "I don't look this good."
That's really funny.
But Woody is convinced. He's like, "Oh, okay, I guess that is him."
Yeah, but. So is the I never looked this good a joke about how Kingdom Hearts graphics just don't look like that, basically?
I think it might be partially that. It also might be that Sora is sort of the midpoint between Square Enix design and Disney design, whereas Yozora is just an edgy badass.
Yeah, it could be that. Okay.
But I love this part because Sora is starting to get confused. He's like, he like leans over to Donald and he's like, why did your magic make me look like this guy? Like, that's not usually what it does. And Donald's just like, That's not you, Sora.
I like that too. He's such an ass.
He's so happy to burst his bubble at any opportunity.
It is weird. Are there broader implications of Verum Rex, or is it just for fun?
I guess we'll have to stick around and find out.
Okay.
But yeah, Goofy and Donald both start to speculate that maybe that's actually a Riku character.
He does,
which is weird.
Yeah, he looks more like Riku, for sure.
Goofy says, like, I think Riku would make a great action figure. And Sora's like, no, it's me, I swear.
No one thinks Sora's cool anymore.
No. Again, he's gotta believe in himself. Yeah, and this is the part where Rex, like, has the strategy guide, and Buzz is like, next time, Rex. And then young Xehanort appears behind them and says, I'm not done observing you yet. And then one of the marionettes sneaks up behind them and possesses Buzz, who starts shooting at Woody.
Buzz really is the Riku of Toy Story.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that since before Toy Story.
Before you knew it in your heart.
I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
So Goofy manages to jump in with his shield to protect Woody from the laser. You know, this is a cutscene, so we can assume that if he did get hit with the laser, he would die.
Yeah, it's the lasers are making the Star Wars laser sound, so you know they can kill.
They have the rights.
Mm-hmm.
Sora starts charging at Xehanort, who is like Goku style dodging all of his attacks while monologuing.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he says, like, when they are worlds apart, can cloth and plastic hold on to their hearts? He basically explains that he sort of baited Sora into coming here to plant seeds of doubt and drive a wedge between the toys, which would open Buzz up to the darkness. And he then grabs Sora and flings him into a TV screen. And Sora is now inside of the Verum Rex spin-off game, Beat of Lead.
I was not ready for this.
This is, I mean, I guess if we're in a data world, then fine. Why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, Sora is now in Verum Rex, Beat of Lead. He is piloting a Gigas and fighting a bunch of more Gigas, and it's cool. And there's like super strong ones that you can pilot, and it's good.
Yeah, that looks cool.
But there's not really anything else to say about it. He fights his way out of the game, and Buzz is gone along with young Xehanort. Goofy says that Xehanort took Buzz through a corridor of darkness, and Sarge comes over and says that his men have reported sighting a shadowy portal over in the Kid Corral.
That's a Kingdom Hearts line. I love that. I love yeah. Having to hear Sarge from Toy Story say that he sighted a shadowy portal.
In the Kid Corral!
Yeah.
They go to... I don't think that we had too much footage of this in Gamer's Little Video, but this part is so fun, because you go to the play place at the Kid Corral, and it's like, there's a McDonald's play place style, like, thing that you crawl around in, there's like a big ball pit, there's all these toys everywhere, and you pilot a Gigas through all of them.
Oh, that's neat. I remember in the video thinking it was very funny to go from Buzz got possessed and kidnapped and we're going to go find the shadowy portal, and then you get the needle drop for You've Got a Friend Again.
I had that exact same reaction in Birth by Sleep with the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, where they're playing the very sad song Tears of Light.
Yeah.
And then Tara is like, believe in your dreams. And then they immediately...
Yeah.
Yeah, so they... Long story short, they use the Gigas to magnetically set up a bunch of toy blocks into a structure that they can wall run up to reach the vents, and it is a Cactar for fun. Why not?
Yeah, I liked that. Big, cool Cactar.
They go up to the portal, and inside, they're in a shadowy void where Xehanort has a lifeless Buzz levitating in the air in a column of darkness. And young Xehanort does what young Xehanort does and begins aggressively taunting them. And he's like, this could happen to you, Woody, because you're also separated from Andy, and the darkness will find root in your heart as well. And the darkness starts to swirl around Woody's feet as he starts to fear for his life.
Yeah, What Sora, did Sora say something first? Because I love Xehanort's next line.
Sora says you can't rip friends apart just with distance because Andy will always be a part of their hearts no matter what. And then Xehanort says his thing.
Yeah. What? Your friends are your power? How very true. But if the light of friendship is a kind of power, something about how being an incel is an even greater power.
Yeah, the darkness of being alone must be an even greater power. And then he repeats Ansem's words from Kingdom Hearts 1. Darkness is the heart's true essence. And Sora looks like he's starting to worry that Xehanort might be right.
Yeah, he's had
Until. Woody, feeling confident now, steps in front of Sora and begins to deliver one of the most iconic speeches in all of Kingdom Hearts.
That's good.
Whatever you're talking about, I don't care. Put Buzz back the way he was, then get lost.
Or else what, toy?
Yeah, I am a toy. And a friend. My guess is no one's ever loved you before. Because you know nothing about hearts and love.
Damn.
I mean, it's brutal, first of all.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's Woody from Toy Story talking to time-traveling young Xehanort. Like, how did we get here?
It's very good. This is what you should want out of these games.
And I do. And I'm they give it to me. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Woody starts to step forward, and his resolve begins to dispel the darkness around them. And Sora is now back on the side of light, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, the true nature of the heart is to never let go. And separating them has only reminded them how much they mean to each other. And he says, like, you're so obsessed with shadows, you've forgotten about the light that casts them. And then Woody, like, uses his little string to swing up to Buzz and catch him and get him free from the darkness. And then his string retracts and says, giddy up, partner.
Yeah, that rules.
Always a good gag.
Yeah.
Buzz wakes up. He's fine.
Yeah, it's great to see Buds.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear, yeah.
Xehanort, you know, as ever with these Xehanorts, he basically is like, great, I win. You know, he's like, huh, so even empty puppets can have strong hearts. I will remember that.
This isn't blood, it's victory wine.
Oh, we get another great line from Woody when Buzz says, our hearts will always be connected to Andy's no matter what you do. And Woody says, that's something you'll never understand because you're hollower than any toy.
Damn, dude.
But again, Xehanort's like, no, this is great. This has shown me that a heart can be placed into any vessel. Thank you. Here's a boss fight.
A boss fight that feels weird for what's happened so far.
It does, but I also love the setting.
Yeah.
Because it's on a fucking nostalgia bait, like, foam puzzle piece, like, city streets playmat.
Oh, yeah, no, it rules. It's good. It's just weird.
It is weird. But yeah, they fight this big heartless. It doesn't matter. We do, fortunately, in the video, get to see Woody and Buzz's team attack, Rocket Ruckus, where they fly around on a rocket like the end of the movie.
It doesn't work how I'd expected it to.
No, and it also has the problem of having precisely one voice line each for Buzz and Woody, which are, ha-ha, and yeah!
Yeah, that's what my notes say, too.
Yeah. Ha-ha, yeah, ha-ha, ha-ha, yeah!
Yeah, and you just sort of, like, can just ram it into the UFO over and over again, which is bizarre.
Yeah, and then the finisher is that it actually, like, explodes, but yeah.
It feels like you should just get to do a big ol' explosion and call it good.
Yeah, because you do, like, flip attacks. It's very strange. It's not the best team attack, but it is very funny.
If I were to do it, you would go up really high, and then Buzz and, like, Woody would, like, use it to fly. And then the rocket would fall back down on the UFO, and then, like, Buzz and Woody would do, like, a cool flyover laser attack or something. That would be better.
Now, that would be cool.
That would be better than, ha-ha, yeah!
That might kind of infringe on some stuff that you do with Baymax from Big Hero 6 later in the game.
Oh, too bad.
They head back to the entrance. Sora tells the toys, like, oh, I'm sorry, I was really hoping I would be able to get you home, but it looks like I did not. And Buzz is like, well, that's all right, because now we get to stay in this world a little longer with our new best friends.
Aw.
That's sweet, but also, that you, go home. You should want to go home.
Yeah. Do we come back to Toy Story, or is this where we leave Toy Story at in this game?
Unlike in Kingdom Hearts 2, no, there are no, like, mandatory revisits. Oh. However, there is a lot of, like, bonus content if you do go back to the worlds.
But so you just leave it in Kingdom Hearts 3 that they're stranded away from Andy?
That is the end of their story in this game, yes.
Holy crap, that's, wow, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, then Toy Story 3 happens, so we have to assume that it works out in the end.
True, yeah.
Yeah, maybe when they beat up Xehanort hard enough, then the worlds get... Oh, actually, this is literally end credits montage stuff, but mm-hmm. It also doesn't matter, so I can say it right now. During the end credits, there is a shot of them in their room looking sad, waiting for Andy, and then the door slowly starts to open and they all, like, fall on the floor inanimate again.
Their hearts connected them.
Yeah, so Andy does come back in the end.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. But yeah, they all shake hands. You know, Sora's like, no hard feelings. I know you were just looking out for your friends. Ham says it's nice to have someone dependable like Buzz when Woody gets everyone into trouble. And then Goofy's like, oh, Woody sounds like Sora. And Donald says, yeah, and I sound like Buzz. And then everyone laughs at him.
Yep.
And he gets mad. And Buzz sends them off with a to infinity and beyond. Great world.
Great world. Yeah. This is how worlds should be.
Yeah, they really should. I think we've got some more great ones, in my opinion, but also some stinkers ahead in this game.
Yeah, I've heard about Frozen. I guess I'll have to see it for myself.
It has its ups and downs.
Gotcha.
People who have played the game will know that that's a reference to how you have to keep running up and down the same mountain 7 times.
Gotcha. That sounds great.
I will say, if I'm going to be completely fair, as much as I love this world, it does also have a similar issue, which is, like, the toy store is a pretty big open area with a lot of different sections to it that all have a pretty different vibe. But the structure of the world is very much... You go to the toy store, you go to the second floor, you go to the third floor, you go back to the ground floor, then you go back to the second floor, then you go back to the third floor, then you go back to the ground floor. It does kind of, in the playing of it, it might overstay its welcome a little bit, but I don't really care about that.
Yeah. If it's fun to be doing the stuff in it, then it should be fine.
Yes. True. We're back in the gummy ship. Sora is looking a little bit down. Donald and Goofy worry that he might be kind of... losing his motivation to learn the power of waking, but Sora is clearly very in his head about what everyone has said, which is, you know, if they find a way to free Roxas from his heart, where's he gonna go? And Jiminy Cricket reminds us that he exists and pops out of Sora's pocket and says, why don't you call Enzo?
You know what I think they should do is I think they should put Roxas in a mech.
Get a Gigas for him.
They had a bunch of them just lying around in Toy Story World. Put him in one of those.
I think Roxas should get a Gundam.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they call... they try to call Enzo. I don't really know why this happens, but Sora accidentally calls Mickey.
Because he doesn't know how to use a phone. He doesn't know how to use technology.
See, that's the thing, though, is it kind of implies that that's what it is, but Sora is like, oh, did I call the wrong number? And I think Mickey says, no, we're here in Radiant Garden.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you don't call phones, you call places?
Yeah, or maybe they were playing games on Enzo's phone, because he had better games.
There's only one phone per world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you put two gummy phones in the same world, they explode.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway, the moment that Donald and Goofy see Mickey on the other end, you know that they shove Sora out of the way to stick their faces in front of the camera.
They gotta kiss the ring.
They gotta kiss the ring virtually. He's not here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sora asks them, Mickey and Riku, for their thoughts on what they can do with Roxas's heart. And then Riku has an idea. And Sora, of course, because of memory stuff, doesn't even know that this is a thing at this point. But Riku remembers the replicas.
Yeah, a thing that I... I'm surprised that... I thought that Xehanort should already know about that, know that it works. And they should know about it and know that it works.
See, the thing is, though, we're talking about... putting a heart into a replica as a vessel, which is not something they've ever done before.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, a replica had a fake, like, heart and memories of an actual
person.
Yeah,
Repliku and Shion both kind of did the same thing that we learned that the Nobodies did at the end of Dream Drop Distance, which is they kind of just grew hearts.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, Riku has the idea of, like, what if we, if there was some way that we could find some replicas, we could put Roxas in one of those things. And he tells Sora, like, the organization developed these things. They're, like, incredibly realistic, and they take the form of whoever they represent. They're completely indistinguishable from the real thing. So if Roxas's heart was put in one of them, it stands to reason that it would basically be Roxas.
It is funny because Riku does go, oh, right, you wouldn't remember this, because this is stuff that, these are memories that Sora has never gotten back, which is everything that happened in Chain of Memories.
That's something that is so funny to me, is the number of times over the course of these games at this point that someone has said something to Sora like, ah, that's right, you wouldn't remember that. And Sora never really thinks about it beyond that.
Yeah, that should bother him more.
Especially since he knows about the Naminé thing. Like, does he know that he has a bunch of missing memories? I don't remember.
He's just like Swiss cheese at this point.
He doesn't really question it. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, we went through the door to darkness. We were in that weird, like, grassy area looking for Mickey and Riku. Then next thing I know, I'm getting out of a pod. I don't know. Just one of those days.
Yeah, whatever. The pod was comfy.
Who cares? So, yeah, Riku suggests that they ask Ienzo if he knows anything about the replicas. And then Sora, this is a little confusing because Sora is like, oh, I wonder if they are looking for replicas, which I thought meant the organization. But then he tells them about Maleficent and Pete.
Well, I think he was saying, like, they, the organization, and also Maleficent and Pete.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But yeah, they finally remember to tell Mickey and Riku about their encounter with Zigbar and Maleficent and Pete. Mm-hmm. And Mickey says, oh, that reminds me, there's something you need to know about one of the organization's members. We fade to black, and I thought that they were trying to keep us in suspense, but I'm pretty sure he's just telling them about Terra.
Yeah, they didn't want to give us, like, 15 minutes of them explaining it to Sora.
Recapping the recap from last time.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a little bit of a change of plans here where Mickey says, we will look into helping out Roxas and Naminé, because as we know, Kairi's heart has Naminé in it. So now if we've got this replica thing as a potential option, we might be able to bring Naminé back too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd good be for her.
Good for her. For sure.
So you go look for Terra, they say. And Mickey says, now that we've dropped off the vestments for Kairi and Lee, maybe it's time that we stop by Ansem's study. And I guess they'll do that next time, because that's where we're stopping for today.
Yeah, cool. great ep. Good stuff in this
great
one.
Great part.
Yeah.
Video game, you've done it.
Yeah, I think it's good, because it's what we always, like, talk about, that, like, the world should be, like, their own story.
Yes.
And this is just because it's all an original story, because Pixar told them they couldn't do it during one of the movies. it's actually really good.
Well, that's interesting, because, and maybe this will lead into our segment of the week.
Yeah.
Because I was reading a little bit of an interview with Nomura from before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. And he actually talked about how the story that they had for the Toy Story world is one that they had been planning to use for years. I think he said that it was originally supposed to be in Kingdom Hearts 1 or 2, mm-hmm. but they just, like, couldn't make it happen, because I think at that point Pixar was not owned by Disney, so it was a little bit trickier,
right,
with the rights. But some other stuff was also said in that interview, if you want to segue us into...
Yeah, this is time for a new segment. It's the Door to Darkness. This is the segment where we talk about fan theories, and then I crush them under my heel because I don't have any fun.
Me, every time someone says that Sora is the Master of Masters.
Yeah, so a lot of people will claim, just like, they'll just claim that it's true, that this part of Kingdom Hearts is within the canon of Toy Story.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I know it's like fun to be in a fandom and all that stuff, but like... And I also know that, like, that's just a fun thing to think about and to believe. So, like, I understand not, like, maybe looking into that very much. But I hear that and I go, there's no fucking way in the world that could be true. And so
that's pretty much where I've been at this whole time. Is like, I don't know if I believe it, but it's fun to imagine that it's true.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and there's an interview with Nomura, and obviously he was speaking in Japanese, so it's a translation, so I think that's some of the issue. But all he really said was that this segment of the game takes place in the continuity of Toy Story, meaning that it's different than other games because it's not set directly in the middle of one of the stories we know. It's just in the continuity between 2 and 3.
Yes, and that, it is on the Toy Story timeline, it's between 2 and 3.
Right, and that's a very different thing from saying, I spoke to Disney and they loved this so much they made it part of... Pixar made this a part of their story. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying it's different because they told me not to put it during one of the actual movies, and so it's just in this continuity, and that's where in the continuity it is. That's it. That's all he meant. And I think that...
Yeah, I think it's somewhere between maybe a little bit of a mistranslation and quite a bit of willful misinterpretation, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's fun to think stuff, but like, I don't know. I don't see, it's a very willful misinterpretation because reading that, I'm like, I don't even really know how you would get there.
Yeah, and I did look up the article in question. It was from Famitsu, before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. And yeah, he does say like, what I was surprised about was that I didn't even see anything that I thought could be interpreted as this is canon to Toy Story.
I think it's just the word continuity. I think that's the only thing that made people maybe think that.
Yeah, maybe. Because he just says, like, very plainly, in the continuity of Toy Story, this takes place after 2 and before 3.
Yeah, I think you could... Yeah, and I think that that's where people have interpreted that. And like, hey, you know, have fun. Obviously, we have fun. We have crackpot corners all the time. But you don't have to pretend that it's real.
Yeah, besides Rescue Rangers exists, so
yeah,
something's Canada something.
Right. Yeah, anyway, that's Door to Darkness
allegedly.
Huh, what's that?
There's a Keyblade in there at some point, I've heard.
Oh, okay.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, is that like the movie, the Andy Samberg one?
Yeah, I mean I heard it's good, I just haven't seen it.
I don't remember that part, but yeah, it might be there. Yeah, so that's Door to Darkness. I don't know if we'll ever have other fan theories that I will ruin the fun of, but...
Just slap that name onto every time I've ever talked about Sora being the Master of Masters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, you know, you were just saying that you think that Toy Box is good because it's its own story instead of just telling the story of one of the worlds. Next time we are going to be going to the Kingdom of Corona, which is Tangled.
Oh.
And Tangled is... I would say no Disney World and Kingdom Hearts has ever tried harder to be the movie that it is.
Uh-oh.
Now, the reason I want to say that now is because I think that if you embrace that and say, I'm going to see what Tangled would have been like if Sora, Donald, and Goofy were there, I think it's actually pretty great.
Well, that that can be good if Sora, Donald, and Goofy get to do stuff. It's only bad when they don't get to do stuff.
I think that they have some moments where they are acting upon the story. There is a lot of very fun interactions with Rapunzel and Flynn. However, there is also one of the all-time funniest and most on-the-nose moments of Sora, Donald, and Goofy literally watching the movie and clapping. And that... So, you know, you get the good and you get the bad, but the bad is also good. So I really like Corona. I didn't like it the first time, but it has really grown on me.
All right, yeah. I mean, I liked that movie, so yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna try to watch it before we do it because it's been a long time. I think I might actually watch it right after this.
Fun.
But that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to read about Johnny.
Yeah, we can read about Johnny.
Johnny's pretty short. Yeah. Is the thing. Johnny is the secondary deuteragonist, which already. Great start.
Secondary guy.
Johnny is the secondary deuteragonist of Kingdom Hearts Tragic Emotion and the protagonist of Illusional Twilight. Now, his full name is Johnny von Schweetz. Von Schweetz being Vanellope's name in Wreck-It Ralph.
Uh-huh.
And he is Riku. The picture is just a picture of Riku from Kingdom Hearts 1. But there's a few journal entries. that I'd like to read for you.
Sure.
And when I say a few, I mean very few. So the first one is from Kingdom Hearts Tragic Emotion. Johnny is the second youngest of the Hamada triplets. Now, Hamada, I believe, is the last name of the character from Big Hero 6.
Oh, okay.
So he's Honeywoman's nephew, maybe?
Could be.
Entry number two, also from Tragic Emotion. Johnny is a rapscallion guy born in Sugar Rush. He's now captured by his possessed brother James. Trivia, he is named after Johnny Rzeznik from the band Goo Goo Dolls.
Oh, it's sort of a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure situation.
Can I say, you know, I really like the website of Co-Host.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Also, I tagged our latest episode Honey Woman.
Uh-huh.
And it automatically capitalized the H and the M. So I was like, oh, there's another post in the Honey Woman tag.
Right.
There is one other post tagged Honey Woman on Co-Host, and it is Mega Man Robot Masters porn.
There is a bit of porn on Co-Host. I definitely have the setting on. Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, I have the setting on Co-Host where I don't automatically see 18 plus content because I open my phone in public sometimes.
Do I care if someone draws Honey Woman, I guess, from Mega Man being fucked? No. Do I want to see porn in the Kingdom Hearts tags? No.
No. No, thank you.
So, that's Co-Host.
That's Co-Host.
That's the internet, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, can I read to you about a character that's completely different than the one you just read?
Please.
I'm going to read to you about Joey.
Oh, okay.
Joey is the Prince of Dunbrock and a knight at Disney Castle. He mm-hmm. also just looks like Riku. I'm really confused how these guys are triplets, by the way, because his dad is Riku and his mom is Merida.
Well, you know how you can be like half brothers?
Oh, I guess, yeah, they're just...
These are third triplets.
Got it. Okay. Third triplets. Yeah, okay. Personality. Joey is serious and doesn't like it when he's bothered.
Me either.
Relationships. Family. Nothing. Merida.
Well, now, hold on. That's bullshit.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was reading it wrong. It's a slightly smaller subheading. Merida. Son, you need to lighten up a bit. But, Mom! No buts. Go plan a prank with your brothers, Merida and Joey.
Well, that's fun.
That's fun. Hey, do you want to read about a third entirely different character?
Oh, let's see.
Here, I'll...
For some reason, it's weirdly difficult to find them from each other.
I got it.
Who's the
I
other
got it
one?
For you.
Oh, it's Jason.
Now, Jason is a little different, if you see his tag.
Well, Jason, whose picture is Dream Drop Distance Riku... Mm-hmm. Jason is the false antagonist / tritagonist of Kingdom Hearts Tragic Emotion. Very complicated roles.
Yeah, I need a diagram.
Jason, alias J, type half human, half replica.
Oh.
Homeworld Arendelle, which is frozen.
So Replicu got out there in the world and had a kid.
And then he has some themes, and these are videos. The first one is... The Force in You, whatever that is. Maybe that's from, I think that might be Rechain of Memories.
Mm-hmm.
Then Let It Go.
Mm-hmm.
A remix of Let It Go, it says. I'm not listening to them, but it says it's a remix. And then his third theme is a Let It Go music box rendition.
Mm.
The most popular guy of Destiny Islands High, the super nice pretty boy, and the oldest of the triplets. As a kid, he and his brothers would cause so much mischief, and they still do at the age of 15.
Can you read his quote?
Master, sorry, Dad. What now? And that links to Riku from FKM. And here's what Riku FKM says. Riku is a character...
Oh. Yeah.
Riku, alias Rick. No.
Oh, man. Rick.
My name's not Rick.
Rick and... What was Sora's name? Rob?
Rob. His age is 42 in Tragic Emotion.
Hmm. Well, that was good.
That was good. I feel bad because I feel like we keep putting off Kit Summers, and I know that Kit Summers is going to be good, but we have to get to Kit Summers next time. We got
plenty of episodes. It's all good.
All right, let me close all these other ones that I was looking at. This is Wish Us Duck.
This is Wish Us Duck.
I think that Donald says one of Woody's iconic speeches this week.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
What do we got? There's you're hollower than any toy. You know nothing about hearts or love. I'm guessing no one's ever loved you before.
I think it should be, I'm guessing no one's ever loved you before.
Okay. Whoop. A false start every week. That's the Sounds About Light edited out guarantee.
Oh, you should put an echo and reverb on it. Those are kind of similar sound effects, but still. Yeah. Okay.
That sounded like words almost.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, if you thought it was hurtful when Woody said it,
yeah.
Imagine two mutated Donald Ducks saying it.
he's been left out on the stove a little.
He's not going to recover from that one.
No. Can you do the Donald Duck laugh? I was thinking about that, and I don't think I can even, like...
Oh, God. I don't know if I've tried it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Well, that is good. We are on co-host alongside some Mega Man porn at Sounds About Light.
That's right.
I am on co-host at Positive Stress, and you can listen to my other podcast, Dr. Huh. We're still struggling to make the scheduling work, but we have to do our episode on the end of the world. We have to.
Yeah.
Very soon.
I worked really hard to get caught up, and then it took a while for other episodes to come out. I worked hard. I listened to podcasts.
Works at podcast.
Yeah. You can find me on co-host at Achilles Healy's. And I don't know, listen to the F+ and listen to Extra Credit. They're good shows.
I haven't listened to the new Magic Recipes one, but I heard Lauren listening to it, and there was some foul concoctions at play.
It's good. That's a good app. I love recipe apps.
always a treat, except for in the literal sense, which they're not.
Yeah, like the Clips for Sale one I did that I don't like to think about.
Oh, God. What a horrible website. No offense to the people who work very hard on there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bad website. I don't think you need to qualify it.
the clips for sale episode that we did of Extra Credit, which no longer exists, was really, really, really challenging. But I did like reading about the person eating a whole jar of pickles.
Yeah, that's good.
We are hosted on noisepace.xyz, where you can listen to other podcasts like Digimon Ghost Gaze and LMNOP and Middlebrow Madness and Pot of Greed and more.
Some point 0-0 again, I think, right?
Yeah, Val and Giga have not had a chance to edit the second and third episodes of The Flash.
Ah, got it.
Oh, I don't remember if I've shouted this out since it happened, but there's a new episode of My Pod Cabbages about the first couple episodes of the Avatar The Last Airbender Netflix show.
Oh, which is fun. Cool.
The episode's fun. I haven't watched the show.
Right.
And more! And like we say at the end of every episode,
Keyblade.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Cut and print. Money, that is.
Bye.
I'm confused. Mm-hmm. That guy in the black coat, did he say he made a copy of the real world? What's that mean?
It probably means they split this world in two. Your friends in one world, us in the other. Only one of the worlds is real, and the other is just really convincing.
You can't be serious. Oh, that's right, you're from a video game. Well, maybe in your game, that's how things work. But here in reality, you can't split worlds.
Huh?
Well, this is ridiculous.
No, hey...